From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the post-game roundtable. Giants lose on Monday Night Football. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Personally, this was an annoying sports night for me, man. You already know I root for multiple teams, and I'm not even actually mad at this game. I am a little irritated on how it kind of ended or the way it went out. My frustration is going to probably be more for Wednesday. That's why I'm really more annoyed. If you guys know how I get down, man, I was furious what happened at the Garden. But that's a story for another day. We're going to talk football. And as far as the football, I'm going to get the stakeholders on because, you know, it's late on the East Coast. Listen, man, the Giants were in this. This game kind of went the way we thought it would have went. They actually had a good game plan to keep everything in front of them despite a lack of pass rush, things we've identified on Thursday. And I thought they did it as best as they could. They shot themselves in the foot, i.e. the offsides, where Darnay Holmes had the interception, but Zimenez jumped offsides. It kind of reminds you of the game versus Washington when Dexter Lawrence jumped offsides, and we could have had that win. That game was more later in the game. But they did everything they could to really keep the high-power Kansas City Chiefs offense off the board. Now, personally, I got Tyreek Hill on my fantasy football team, so I already locked in the week, but that ain't got nothing to do with the Giants. The Giants season, is it lost? I would say yes, it is. So we're talking trade deadline. Are the Giants going to give away assets or get something back with expiring contracts? That conversation is probably going to have to be had tonight. I thought they did as best as they could. Yeah, you know, Leonard Williams with a strip sack. And it was really a bullshit call with Tay Crowder. The refs fucked that one up. We could talk about that one too. But let's get the stakeholders on. I don't know what they're going to think. I think some of the theme we had on Thursday was, would they show progress? I think that was from Bakes. And maybe correct me if I'm wrong. If the Giants went into the thing and got smoked, then it'd be like no progress. But what are guys thinking about after this game? Let's bring them on in order that they call. So let's open up the queue, man. And roll call time. Carl, what up, man? Say hello to the people. I'm not surprised because I put the confidence points on the Chiefs. So I guess I saw exactly what I thought I would see. Carl, say hello to the people. How you doing, man? Maybe we'll get everybody on.
Good evening. Good evening, Steve. Interesting night of football, I have to say.
I'm looking forward to all y'all opinions, man, on this, man. Let's see. Bakes, what's up, man? How you doing? NYG Frontliners, NYG, man.
What's good, family? I'm glad we didn't get run out of the building, but I'm still a bit disappointed. I was looking for a win.
Right. All right, cool, man. And you know, Bakes, I'll say this when we bring on Billy Bob in and later after that. That's another thing I want to forget. Like, the injuries, man. Like, we're still – like, that's why I can't really get too over the top. But I know we're all going to talk about this because Shepard goes down and all this shit. Anyway, Billy Bob, say hello to the peoples, man.
Hey, good morning, actually. But, hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Good?
Well, I'm doing right. I'm doing okay. I'm just ready to start talking.
I hear that, man. Lit, what's up, man? How's everything, dude?
Hey, everything's going great. Hey, what's that? Yeah, that's me. Hey, you know what? I'm glad everybody. Yes, that is me. But hey, I am glad everybody on this forum calling right now has discipline. We all have discipline, unlike a certain team we root for doesn't.
Right. All right, let's see.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, we will, man. I got to get the timer out, man, because people are popping in. Let's see. Dre, Drizzy, what's going on, man? How you doing? Giants lose. It's a really interesting way. I want to see where you guys stand. I'm I'm slightly disappointed, but I'm not over the top with it because this is a lot to overcome on the road. But Dre, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
What's good, man? I mean, hey, all I got to say is, man, multiple times we running out of timeouts at the end of the game. Judge got to go. He don't know what the hell he's doing.
That is an issue. Point you're right period. About that. Huge issue, dude. You are absolutely correct about that. Hey, yo, guess who landed on the tarmac, man? The G6 is with us, man. What up?
Yes!
Football as well. Roll call time. Just say hello, man. And then we're going to get everybody to sound off on their 3 to 4 minutes. G6, what's up, man? It's been a minute. What's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, come on, man. Hang in there. How about yourself, man?
Hang in there, man. You know, just trying to get through these games, man. That's it.
Jeez, I hear you, man. All right, so let's do this, ladies and gentlemen. Just mute your lines if you're not speaking. We're going to lead off with Carl. Carl, I'll put you on for 4 minutes, man. Let's get everybody a fourth minute, man. So, you know, we got to get through this and get it off, man. I'm interested to see what y'all think, man, because I think I kind of got a vibe what you guys said on Thursday. But, girl, Carl, go ahead and lead it off, man. I take the position as this is hard to really analyze. Man, listen, they could have won this, but it was really hard to overcome. What's your thoughts, Carl? Everything you saw in this game, we could talk about it play-by-play, so on and so forth. I'm going to go right down the line and get everybody on, man. I'm going to go on mute. Everybody go on mute real quick to minimize background noise.
So I think the general feeling is, and we talked about it on Thursday, that we didn't want them to get waxed going in there tonight, and they did not. They played all the way to the end. They played their hearts out for the most part and unfortunately came on the wrong side of the 2017 score. The Chiefs, as we saw, have plenty of issues on their own merit. I mean, they've got some – I don't know if their stuff's going to get corrected, but, you know, be that as it may. Theme that we've been talking about on this show for weeks, maybe upon years now, the Giants do just enough dumb stuff to lose. And you saw it tonight. The sequence at the end of the game, you just – I don't know who it was. I was just mentioning it just now. The potential interception that gets called back because of the offside that then leads to the Kelce catch and the face mask penalty changed the whole complexion of how that game at the end was going to be played, because it looked like the Chiefs were potentially going to pump the ball to the Giants. Giants drive down, kick the field goal, celebrate, and the game is over. Unfortunately, that did not happen because of dumb stuff. Previous to that, you had the Penny taunting penalty. Now, listen, whether you want to blame the refs for calling that or not, that play has been called all season long. You can't do that. You saw Rudolph, the second the penalty flag went down, almost I think he put his hand on his head, on his helmet, and went to Penny and said, bro, like what? Like even he knew it right then and there. And those kind of things still have not been erased from the team, you know, and – unfortunately, until that goes away, we're still going to be sort of stuck in the same sort of spot. They played defensively. They played exactly how we said they were going to play. They were forcing the Chiefs to go to the long field. The Chiefs were, for whatever reason, so trying to be so over-aggressive at times, run the ball. I mean, the fact that they were trying not to run the ball, and then when they actually did, they had some success against the run defense. The Giants are basically daring them to run until the Chiefs actually did it in the first half. And then after that, the game plan that they had, as you can see when you watch the game, the bend, don't break, keep guys in front of you game plan can work if you have a defensive line to give you the pressure to pull it off. You can work that way. You know, unfortunately, as we've seen this season, that hasn't always been the case, and thus the defense has not played up to what we thought they would play before the season began. But the one sequence that's still gnawing at me, and it happened late in the first half, 3rd and 4 at the Chiefs 7-yard line, the Giants called their final timeout before the end of the half. And Shepard, for whatever reason, runs his route short of the first down marker, runs about a 2-yard out, and they're then forced by choice to kick a field goal on 4th and 2 at the Chiefs 5-yard line. First of all, okay, the fact that they had to kick a field goal was their own choice. But the Chiefs have perhaps the worst defense in the league. score. Get a touchdown. Come on. What, like,
and Michael Strahan called it.
Yes.
Strahan
yes.
called that play.
Yes.
Strahan called it. Even he knew it was going to be short of the first down. He called it.
Oh, my God. I could not believe it when that happened. But, I mean, show some nuts. Go for the touchdown right there. Go for it on fourth and two at the five. Stop kicking these damn field goals. You know, and that played a role. And then the last thing, as I think, I don't know who was it. Was it Dre that may have just mentioned it just now earlier? The timeouts. The second half timeouts. They put themselves in that position at the end of the game where they were using their time. I'm looking at the chart. They called their first timeout with 4:11 to go in the third quarter before a first down when the Chiefs had the ball. Then they called their second timeout with 3:27 to go in the fourth quarter before a second down. And then they didn't use their last timeout on the other side of the two-minute warning, which allowed the Chiefs to basically do what Mahomes did by sliding down and taking the sack, draining 40 seconds off the clock, and putting the game in a situation where there was 1:10 to go and no timeouts, where any one mistake on the Giants' drive basically ended the game. And, of course, they got the one sack. They lose about 20 seconds. Game over. Like, those kind of things we are still talking about. Bad timeout usage. Dumb stuff with penalties.
And Peyton was calling.
Peyton
was screaming for them to call it. Call that timeout before the two-minute warning. He was screaming.
Let him speak. Hold on. You got time, man. Let him speak. Go ahead, Carl. You got about 30 seconds. Sorry.
Thank you, Steve. So, like, those things, like, independent of the game itself, like, they play well for the most part, yes. But these particular issues within the course of the game, the discipline, the timeout usage, the game management are still poor. Why that's poor, I don't understand. Maybe someone else that's on the line with us and I can explain why that is. But this has been continuing last year, this year, and part of the reason why they lost tonight is due to those issues that we just talked about just now.
Right on, right on. All right, this is what we're going to do. Biggs, I had you next, right? But hold off, man. I'm going to give you a fifth minute, man, because I know I definitely want you to speak. I gotta get an audible. I got DB out at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. I don't know if this is DB or Manny Dawes, one of them. I'll bring you on, man, because I know you're trying to get out of the parking lot. I know it's a zoo out there on I-70. But, man, give us your thoughts, DB. Biggs, I'm going to come back to you for a fifth minute because I know how it is getting out of those stadiums up there. But we all do. DB, is this DB or is this Manny Dawes?
Yeah, Steve, it's me, man. DB Nation.
Hey, what's up, DB?
What's going on? Hey, everyone, this was mayhem. Manny Dawes and I are here live leaving the freaking Arrowhead Stadium. And, you know, for one call that Elijah Penny, we were there live. Like, unless I missed something, he pointed forward. Most offensive players point forward when they get first down, so I don't know what the big deal was in that. I was supposed to like kind of, but for a three-man rush, Mahomes was running for his life. The D-line was getting pressure, and the secondary, Patrick Graham, I got to say, he had the secondary playing where they needed to be because Tyreek Hill, he didn't catch any deep bombs. He got some yards on outs and all that stuff, and they had a decent game plan for Kelce. You know, you can't covered him all the time, but when he did get the ball, Logan Ryan forced a fumble, which was great. But Jason Garrett, man, I was yelling like on commercial timeouts, Jason Garrett, you suck, get him out of here. Like, he's just the worst. Like, two back-to-back quarterback runs and then an incomplete pass, like inside the 20, we are horrible. It's like he doesn't have plays for that, and he damn sure doesn't have a two-minute offensive playbook. It's embarrassing. Again, like I think I heard Carl in the last one back end, the burning these timeouts early for no reason. Coach, what are we doing? We don't know how to manage the game, manage the clock. It's ridiculous. Then we get the offsides when Darnay Holmes got the pick. Game changer right there. Going back to James Bradbury. Bradbury dropped the pick early on in the first half. That could have been points. You know, it's just been ridiculous with this, man. It just doesn't make any sense. And, again, we played – just enough to lose, which is horrible. They were getting a lot of penalties, holding, because the three-man line, they were getting pressure on Mahomes, man. Mahomes was frustrated. But it was just – the Giants had this game, man. Steve, the Giants had this game in the bag, and it's embarrassing how we went out like that again. Just like many of those, and I said, it's been a broken record. It was a great atmosphere. They were loud out here. Giants were making it happen at times, but the offense is crap. It's predictable. It's funny. I said when the Giants first got the ball, I can guarantee, let's guess what the first play of the game is going to be. Is it going to be a shotgun draw or a shotgun draw? And ladies and gentlemen, what was the first play of the game from the Giants? A shotgun freaking draw. This is stupid. This is beyond stupid in terms of the play caller. Jason Garrett gets paid way too much money, and I think there was only one deep ball, one vertical route, Steve, all game. You got guys who could go and run 4-2s and 4-3s. It's just ridiculous. But on that one third down to Darius Slayton, that was all on Darius Slayton. Huge drop right there. Huge drop. He ran a great route, got back to the inside, ball went right through his hands. That's all on him. So if he gets traded, goes to the Saints, like they're talking or whatever, what other team, I don't even care anymore. You know, Evan Engram finally caught a pass, finally caught a touchdown. So now he has one more touchdown than Andrew Thomas, thank God. You know, you should have won this game, man. You should have won this freaking game. It's embarrassing because the Giants had this one. Yes, man. They were nervous.
Right.
They didn't execute. Yeah.
Yeah. Follow-up question from me. They talked about the timeouts. You kind of touched on it. What about lack of weapons? Are you one of the fans that's saying, hey, man, we went down with a lot of these guys and we still kind of hung in there with them on the road? Or you're like, nah, fuck it, we needed to win the game?
Oh, yeah. Steve, the crew that we had out there, the guys that we had out there offensively easily should have got it done. Who we have with John Ross. And even Slayton and Kadarius Toney should have got way more targets, you know. But defensively, this is a huge one. 48, Tay Crowder should not be playing middle linebacker. He's a liability in coverage. He was getting gouged on the run because you're already with a 3-4 defense. And I kept saying this, we don't have the athletes and the size to be running a 3-4. The Giants need to go back to a 4-3 defense because this is ridiculous. Like, Tay Crowder, he looks like a safety out there. He looks like he's, like, 210, maybe 220, light in the ass, getting moved around by linemen. Reggie Ragland was the only one really balling out there tonight. That other new guy, 49, I'm not sure, McKinney, I forgot where he's from, he was in and out, you know. But that run defense was looking bad up the middle, and Tay Crowder was getting gouged, man. You know, just like a few times they split out the running back and had Tay Crowder, on the running back. He can't play coverage. Just like when they played the Redskins, dude ran out and up and roasted Crowder. He can't play coverage. He shouldn't be on the field. I just don't understand this, man. And that's coaching. You know, if anything, when they went, like, dime by the goal line, it was like six DBs and one linebacker, and that one linebacker was Tay Crowder. Tay Crowder can't cover. If anything, put Xavier McKinney at that middle linebacker spot because he could tackle and cover and add another DB. It's very simple. But, again, that's coaching. You know, you got the wrong guy on the field. Tay Crowder's not the guy. He shouldn't be out there, man. So that was embarrassing, man. And 31 made a great play on Mahomes there. You know, again, the offside, Darnay Holmes had to pick. That really sucked because we should have been the ones to go down.
Are you there? I think he went in and out. All right. DB, I don't know what happened. His time was running out anyway. But I don't know if he's in and out. If he comes back in, we'll bring him back in. I know they're out the let out there in Kansas City. Bates, giving you a fifth minute, man. I'm going to let you go ahead and do your thing, man, because I know you're going to have a talking points for days, and I got to write it all down so I can give it to all the stakeholders behind you, Bates. 5 minutes. Go for it, brother.
So here it is, Steve. Shout out to everyone on the line. Shout out to the guys out there, Kansas City. Hope y'all enjoyed all that good cooking out there.
Yeah.
And the game the best you can. But it's frustrating, Steve. We've been in this quagmire for quite a while, and my problem is twofold. I hear everybody talking about how we don't got our studs on offense, but I know it was early in the season, but when we had our studs on offense, we were still losing, and we were still looking bad. So my problem is the defense came out, bend but don't break, came down, got the tip interception in the end zone for the touchback. first play, Daniel Dimes Jones. Y'all need to stop calling this dude Dimes, first of all. Cut that shit out. Stares down the receiver. Stares down. My wife's sitting here, but like, yo, why he looking? He just looking. You don't look off. You don't look straight. You look step pick. We're lucky it wasn't a pick six. So what does that do? That kills the momentum of the defense just coming down, getting a turnover. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it could have been we going the other way for a score. We give up. They get the ball back, and of course, Tyreek Hill scores, right? The offense, they don't get Tony in the game early enough to get him in the flow of the offense. Some people need touches to get in the flow of offense, but it's not till later on and like he's not getting his touches. I don't understand that. It's confusing. It's frustrating. The defense played a hell of a game. Even Kansas City going through what they're going through, only giving up 20 points at home. Is something to be said, especially for the last couple of games where we gave up 38 and 40. It was a good defensive strategy by Graham, well executed for most of the part. What it comes down to is the frustration of the mental plays. The referee play, it kind of looked like holding, so I'm going to give him that. I mean, kind of the face mask, it kind of looked like that, but it still was a big play out of 15 yards. It wasn't a face mask, but it kind of looked, when you see it, because he whipped his head around, it looked like a face mask. Not a big deal. 53 minutes. That's a big play in the game. That's a change in the game right there. And you know, you never know, but those mental mistakes is the problem. Drop interceptions, things like that. And they're probably tired, a thing like that. But the offense, and then the offense at the end of the game, we can't even go a yard. We're going backwards. You can't get any protection. 74 just letting the dude come on in on them. They're getting a rush from all sides. They're like certain plays, they get good protection. Certain plays, they don't get good protection. And he's not going to survive running that RPO consistently. He's not going to survive because he's not already a sturdy quarterback. And keep running that RPO, he's going to get hurt. It's so frustrating. I don't, you know, we did score. We did keep up with them. I think we could have walked away with this game. It really was a winnable game. But the offense didn't do what it needed to do, and the defense had a meltdown late. And sometimes it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And the key quality plays towards the end of the game, getting off the field on third and long, is key to get the momentum going. And we didn't do that, man. And Judge, I feel like he's lost. Every game I'm losing confidence in him. He's standing on the sideline. He doesn't look where he knows that. You waste the timeout. Like I'm sitting there, we got a timeout with 2:30 thing. After the first play, call a timeout. Why are you going to let the clock run down to the 2-minute warning? And then now you don't have any timeout. And now you don't have a way to stop the clock. You could have got two stops right there. And he doesn't think about that. We stopped them from scoring. They got a field goal. It's just frustrating. And as a Giant fan, as a fan that throws tailgates and travel to these games, it's frustrating. You're invested. We are invested. And to see this product on the field continually, my improvement that I only see is that at least they did fight. They had a good plan defensively. And I don't know, maybe I also feel like if Kansas City was the old Kansas City clicking on all cylinders, they probably would have dropped 60 on us. But there wasn't that Kansas City. So even at home, we didn't allow them, you know, to give up. We didn't give up the big play. They contained Kelce. Kelce didn't score. That's a win. But we usually get burnt by any tight end. Actually, doesn't have to be a top flight tight end. So it's just frustrating, Steve. We watch these games, and I know you guys are numb. I'm not numb yet. I'm getting close. The Knicks started, so you know I have that to fall back on. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not numb yet. So I'm sitting there in my house furious because I'm like, and I said this going in Thursday, this is a winnable game. I believe when you had an opponent on the mat, you don't let them up off the mat. And we did enough just to lose the game. You know, with the mental errors, that falls back on coaching. and repetition and practice of knowing situational football is very key, because sometimes the game really comes down to one play. And that offside could have killed it. Yeah, man, that's it for me, man. I just want to see us do better, and I don't know. I agree. I think the season is lost, although, you know, we got about 9 more games, but I don't see it getting any better.
So my follow-up question to you, Bates, last one, and I think you kind of said it, so I just want to be clear coming back from the Thursday episode. So you're saying, are you cool? I hate to say cool with the loss, but we didn't get blown out. So you, where do you stand as far as how this game went? Like, we didn't get smoked. Are you frustrated because of how it happened? That's where the frustration comes from.
I'm frustrated because the way we lost. I make no mistakes. Gotcha. I do not believe in mental victories. We're not an expansion team. We're not a team with a bunch of rookies. You know, we got talented and expensive free agents on this team, even though they're injured or whatever the case is. We got a rookie, you know, again, not a rookie, a second-year head coach or whatever the hell he is or whatever. But after a certain point, should we not see improvement? What does improvement look like in a football team? Should we still, 8 games in, still be seeing mental errors? But bad teams make mental errors. Bad teams find ways to lose games. And we are, make no mistake, a bad team. When we had everyone healthy, we were still losing games. Yes, it takes a while sometimes for teams to mesh and things like that. I just feel like they don't do the right things in the off season and in preseason to get to where we are, because I can't see how you get better by not playing these people in preseason and then we get to the games and expect game time activity. But that's just me. But that's my frustration. The way we lose is frustrating.
All right, cool. Now I got where you're coming from. Gotcha. Cool. All right, let's go to Billy Bob, and then let's go to Legend and Tailgate after that, and then Dre. Billy Bob, go ahead and fire away, man. I'm going to go sit back and listen, man. Do your thing, man.
Steve, you already knew what my confidence pick was when I picked the Giants. I picked them out of 4 because I knew the Giants were supposed to win this game, because I told you all year we're talented enough to win games. And therefore, after I said that, I've been standing on his defense since week 1. I don't know what y'all telling me about this defense that I'm not understanding how they've been coming through all season. And if y'all told me they don't finish hold Kansas City to 20 points and tell me the New York Giants got a drive, not to score a touchdown, just get my Pro Bowl. Here we go again. You got me why I got in my feelings. Just get my Pro Bowl kicker to tie the game. I can't even do that. But before I carry on, I would like to say it was very entertaining to sit there and watch this game on ESPN2 with Eli and Michael Strahan and these other guys, just to hear them just call out this team. No plays even come out. Like, I'm hearing Michael Strahan say, before the half, y'all talking about second half, let's talk about the first half. When you got Michael Strahan saying, hey, listen, defense shouldn't be calling timeout. Offense. But before he even say that, Peyton Manning saying that. Like, that's real. Like, why is defense calling timeout? I don't understand that. My defense playing good all year, but why are we calling timeout? That I guess that's Joe Judge. I don't know what the problem is. Y'all got the right defense. Even when they scored with Hill, that was still almost a good defense to me. It was just a better throw, a better catch. I don't understand. My defense is playing good. But I sit back and still have to figure out, why do we have this problem, how we can't even get in position to kick, like, even tie a game. That's just like you asking yourself that question. And, Steve, here we go again. I told you this on Thursday. I seen backup quarterbacks come in and win games. This is why I'm telling you why Daniel Jones should be winning these type of games, even with Jason Garrett fucking up the game. He should be winning these games. Like, this was a winnable game. We just just watched like three quarterbacks step in and win games. Period. Out against Tampa. Y'all trying to tell Dave? Hey, listen, I'm not trying to say Darren Jones is probably a franchise quarterback, but at least, bro, come on, bro. At least show me that you could have won this game. Y'all don't even have to give me 4 minutes, bro. This is just crazy to me how I'm watching how our offense is continually just like shit on us time and time and time. Y'all can tell, y'all can hit me with the mistakes. Yeah, I get that. Hey, I called the boy Donnell Holmes. I've been saying once he got in, I've been seeing good things. He did what he had to do. Yeah, we had an offside penalty, but, like, hey, man, I just got to stand on my defense. Hey, if you told me we were from the whole Kansas City to 20 points and a chance to drive down and kick a field goal to tie, I'd be like, yeah, I'll take it. Because I said, listen, the Giants are very talented. Listen, man, if the first person that need to be – that blockbuster trade shit, the first person that need to hit the door is Sterling Shepard. All this injury shit got to go. This is how you clear house. Anybody that constantly get hurt that can't just make it through a whole 7 games without getting hurt, they got to go. This just like this not working for us. I'm sorry. This injury bug stuff is not working because all it do is give everybody an excuse to come out and say, hey, we ain't got all our man. There's a lot of teams out there that don't have a lot of their man and go out there and perform. I just want y'all to perform. You had a hot tight end in the first half. How you get away from Kyle Rudolph? That you even snuck. You started even sneaking Ingram in. You snuck him in. You couldn't even, like, get that going. This is like, he just don't know the personnel. Here we go again and all this. Cause like I said, if you don't know your personnel, you're definitely not going to know your situational downs. Because situational downs, you're going to have to get the right personnel in. If you don't get the right personnel in, you're definitely not going to succeed on your on situational downs. And it's just like, let's go on to the next caller, man. I can have this. All right,
cool, man. Shout out to Billy Bob. Thanks, man. Let's go to Legend and Tailgate. That would be lit, man. Giants fan in Arizona, man. Yo, what's your thoughts? I'll put you on for 5 minutes, man. And I know you got a lot to say, and then probably implications with trade deadline, too, because we're coming up on that as well. And we go to Dre after that and then G6.
Well, you know, Steve, as far as the game, I need you and Carl and G6 on this, for real. I need to know where we stand as a team in terms of where we rank with leaving points on the board. I don't know how many drives we left points on the board and settled for a field goal. I don't know where our league average is. I don't know how many drives per game that we are not successful with scoring a touchdown and settling for 3 points. It's been a trend. It's not just today. It's not last week. We are leaving way too many points on the board. We cannot finish out. And I would like Carl to do a math project to come up with some sort of a survey to figure out where do we stand as a team per game and how we can correct that, because all we're doing is leaving points on the table and settling for field goals. The other thing is the whole game management by the managers. That would be Joe Judge. That would be Jason Garrett. I need to know where we are as a league average, where how many timeouts we're using per game, when we're using our timeouts inappropriately, and where do we stand with the rest of the league? Because I feel like we're using our timeouts in the wrong situation at the wrong time, and it's costing us at the end of the game. As you can see today, we started the last drive with no timeouts because we improperly used timeouts for stupid reasons that basically kicked our asses. The other thing I just kind of want to point out, and I don't know if anybody was seeing this on the game, anyone can answer this question. Whenever the camera pans to Joe Judge, if you actually watch Joe Judge and can read lips, all he's doing is swearing. I mean, all it is fuck this, fuck mother. I mean, if you notice, all the dude does is swears. To me, it's comical. Steve, obviously you laugh because I think I'm right. All the dude does is he talks like that to his assistant coaches, the trainers, to the referees. It's every four letter word that comes out of his mouth. And if I'm wrong, someone call me out on it. But that's all this guy knows how to talk. Is he the right guy for the Giants? Just the way his deliverance is, because I don't think he knows his audience, as in terms of who he's around with his deliverance. If that's cool, all right, cool. But I don't know if he knows anything else, and I find that troubling. That's all I wanted to say. I'm hoping that Carl can go work on my math project and come out with some numbers to kind of figure out where we are as a team with leaving points on the board, because that shit's got to be corrected.
When we go back to Carl, I'll write that down. Well, I'm writing it down now. And
I appreciate
we'll go back
it.
To Carl with that math project. Yeah, no, yo, thank you, man. I think it's apparent. Those timeouts are getting burned way too early, way too early.
Yes.
And I think that's helped cost us in this game, too. Like, you're right about game management. And Dre, let's get his thoughts for his 5 minutes.
Hey, Steve, can I just say one more thing? Okay, so listen, it's okay to screw around with your timeouts in the first half. I get that. That's cool. You have three to play around because they don't carry over. But your back three are the most crucial timeouts you have. That's like a stock. You don't want to burn your stock. That's your equity, your stock, whatever. You cherish that shit like gold. I'm done.
I totally agree with that. He burns them shits way too fast. He did that shit last week versus Carolina. Dre, you kind of touched on it. You kind of led the way with the timeouts. The elephant in the room. Well, that's actually not an elephant in the room. We always talked about this, but this is really out of hand. Go ahead, Dre, for your 5 minutes and then the G6.
Thanks, Steve.
Was that G6 that we put on the first time that was at the game? I think it was G6 that asked, he don't know what the penny penalty was because players do the first down all the time.
That was DB Nation. He was at the game.
Okay, DB Nation. I have the answer for that because I thought that too. Okay, because Zeke do whatever he do to eat and do that, nothing happened. But excuse my language, Penny is a dumbass because where the penalty came was when he got up in dude's face and started talking. That's what drew the flag. It wasn't the first down. It was when he jumped up in his face, and I didn't see that initially. When they showed the replay, I was like, oh, you dumbass. So that's that right there. And please can somebody tell me who the hell the offensive line coach is that got our linemen 4 yards in the backfield trying to tackle our running back in the backfield? Before the other team get to him, what the hell was our offensive lineman doing 4 yards back there, meeting the running back at the handoff and damn near tackled him? Did anybody see that? I mean, am I the only one that saw that play? I mean, it was comical. I mean, I'm watching, you know, it pissed Eli off too. Eli was pissed. Peyton was laughing. Eli was getting heated, yo. Eli was getting heated. He didn't stray away from what he said last week. He said, I'm a Giants fan, die hard. And when they messed up, I'm going to show emotion. And when they, you know, when they do good, I'm going to show emotion. He was pissed off. I mean, if he was on this show with us, man, you guys would know he was pissed off. As far as, you know, the swearing and stuff, and I'm going to say this. Before the season started, who is that we cut? He wanted a player that we got from another team to go down like 20, lose like 20 pounds and come in 20 pounds less than when he played tight end the previous team. And when he got cut, the player blasted him saying that all he does is curse and swear. And I swear, them damn Giants fans on them Giants groups, man, D-Bakes to tell you, I'll be on there arguing with him all the time. They crucified that player. Say he ain't know what he was talking about or nothing. But hey, we got somebody that mentioned it. I'm happy that somebody mentioned it because it looks like that player was right. I forgot who his name was. You know who he is. But yeah, man. I don't. It's man. It's it's draining, man. It's mentally draining. I mean, obviously, I really didn't expect that much from this game. They basically surprised me, because everybody that's on here that's been watching the Giants and know the Giants, they know that when we go into a game, whatever the other team's record is, whether they got the highest score in offense or not, whatever their record is, we play down to their record. See what I'm saying? And the defense actually surprised me, because they did. Because if they did play down to their record, then, you know, Mahomes to Tyreek Hill would have happened about 6 or 7 times. I'm talking 60-yard bomb plays. But that didn't happen. Unfortunately, our weakness was what Kansas City had to start doing to win. And Mahomes don't like dropping, you know, going down to the check down and everything. He like going long. But it's fortunate for them and unfortunate for us that what he had to do, that's what we give up anyway. So the coaches looked at that. They must have told him, hey, you got to hit them. It's always open. Everybody kills the Giants. With that, the tight end thing was a surprise. I thought Kelce was going to kill us, but he didn't. But the little 5-yard, little 4-yard was open, you know, and we didn't really get the tackles all the time. You know, they catch the ball 4 or 5 yards, run down the field for a first down, 8-9 yard gain after the catch. But that's not excusing the play. I'm not happy. Listen, I'm not a Dallas fan. Moral victories does not exist in my heart when it comes to talking about the Giants. I can give a damn about a moral victory. And I'm pretty sure anybody else on here feels the same way. But it's too much stuff, man, to fix the team. I really don't know how to do it. It's mind boggling. I have no idea. And I'm gonna finish this out with what was that ending question from the previous caller? He said something. What was that question?
About what?
Not a bad question, the one after.
Say that again.
Not the math question. Not the question telling Carl to do the math, but the one after that he ended with another one.
I mean, Lit, you're still on. What was your question? Maybe I missed, you didn't write it down. Lit, you can open your mic up to Dre.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
Lit,
were you talking about the last question? Yeah.
Oh, about burning our timeouts. Is that what you were talking about, Dre?
Oh no, because I brought that one up.
Okay.
I started that. It was something that I didn't even think of.
Okay. Yeah. The last thing I asked was, is anybody else noticing that when the camera pans to Joe Judge and he's talking?
Oh, I answered that. I answered that when
everything is swearing.
Exactly, I answered that when I said, yeah, I didn't think I answered when I said the player that we cut in OTA,
Kelvin Benjamin. Benjamin.
Yeah, remember he said all he does is swear. And all that, and he got crucified in these Giants groups, man. Like I said, D-Bakes being there, D-Bakes see me, I get real disrespectful because I don't like that, man. Because if you're saying stupid stuff, you're saying we're stupid. You're saying our fan base is stupid. I don't like that, man.
Yeah, and like I said, Jay, really quickly, I don't want to take up, but like I said, if you're noticing that too, and you're seeing it on live TV, I'm noticing it. I think Steve's seeing it. Maybe, I mean, it's not like a secret. This is how he is.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Jay, man, cool. Thank you, man. We're going to go back around for final thoughts after G6 speaks. Let's get G6 for his 5 minutes, get his thoughts on the game, and if he has questions for anybody on here, go ahead, G6, fire away, man. Hope all is well, man.
Yeah, man, glad to be back on the show. Hadn't called in a very long time, but I get everybody's frustration. I get everybody's, the feelings about the team. But we're going through the same thing we went through 5, 6 years ago. It never got fixed. This team is not constructed to win consistently. And I think that's what everybody's forgetting. Or maybe you're not forgetting it, but I heard someone say we have a talented team, a couple different people. Yeah, you have talented individuals, but this team is not built to win consistently in today's NFL. Your O-line is trash. We've been talking about fixing the O-line since 2012. It's still a problem. It's a major problem. We're not talking about one or two players on the O-line. We're talking about that entire O-line as it sits needs upgrading. Not only that, the other side of the ball. Well, you have to rush the passer in today's game. It's a passing league. So you have to be able to rush the passer. We have one pass rusher on the team. That's legitimate, and he's a fresh fish. He's wet behind the ears. He's a rookie. Also, you don't have any middle linebackers. Even with Martinez in the game, those are the most important positions because you'll get what you got tonight. Graham did call. I will give it to Graham. He called a good game plan, but you don't have the personnel to stop the run on that team right now. You don't. Dalvin Tomlinson walked. You got Sheldon and you got Johnson. Those guys are not nose tackles. They're not going to be able to stop the run. Sheldon didn't even play tonight. But you don't have the pieces to run what he's trying to run. I heard someone say, well, maybe go to a 4-3. We don't have the personnel for a 4-3. You need very big DNs for a 4-3. We're talking about 265, 270-pound guys. We don't have that on this team. We have light outside edge rushers that's 240, 250 on this team. Aziz might be the biggest guy on the team, him or X. That's not going to – you can't run a 4-3 with this team. It's not going to work. You don't have the ends for it. So that's not an answer. I get everybody's frustration, but it points to ownership. It points to management. It points to Chris Mara, the personnel director of the team. This team is just not built to win consistently. And I get the frustration, but it's the same things week in and week out. It's the same things. It's in those trenches. We've got a lot of talent. But it's individual talent, and the team is not constructed in the right way to win on a consistent basis. That's pretty much it, man. Yeah. I mean,
let me ask you this about the O-line. I agree with you. I mean, I think we all agree with each other. Biggest issue right now with it, is it the young tackles with Pert and whenever Thomas is there? Is it still holding on the shoulder? Is it the issue with moving Hernandez to right guard? And I remember when Gates went out and bringing in Billy Price. Well, like, how would you rank the order of issues on the O-line if you had to rank them, all the issues?
Who's the two guys that's picking? Who's the two guys that's in charge of personnel for the team? Chris Morrow,
mm-hmm.
John's brother, David Gettleman. So you're making the wrong picks. You're not evaluating the talent properly, and you're drafting a bunch of people that they're not panning out. Your track record is horrible. Hernandez is going to probably go down as somewhat of a bust. He'll be off the team next year. That was a second round pick. Perk's not rounding out the way we thought he would. The list goes on and on and on. Shane Lemieux's not even playing right now.
All right.
That's your answer. That's his answer to fixing the O-line. I will give him Andrew Thomas. I'll give him Thomas. But that was a safe pick. It was the fourth pick in the draft. It was hard to mess that up. But when we're talking about building this O-line, you went out and got Galladay and Adore and all. Dude, I got those guys. I wouldn't have spent the money there. I would have spent the money in the trenches. I would run out on that field with Pettis and Slayton all day long if that O-line has the proper pieces on it. Because then Daniel Jones is not running for his life. He's not making miscues. And I'm not letting him off the hook either. That was the wrong quarterback. But that goes back to – that's another discussion for another day. But, that's where this whole thing starts at. You're not going to win games consistently in this league week in and week out if you can't do those two things. You can't block and you can't rush the passes. I don't care if you got Deion Sanders back there, four of them. If you're not getting to the quarterback, he's going to pick you apart week out. And that's the issue with the Giants. I don't care if you have four Jerry Rices. If you can't protect the quarterback and give him enough time to throw the ball and complete passes and survey the field, you're not going to win games. You're not going to be consistent. Not only that, you can't run the ball because the blocking is horrible. It all goes hand in hand. But it starts in those trenches. Why you go out and get shiny toys like Galladay and Adore? Those are toys you get when you need a piece or two to get you to the Super Bowl, supposedly. Those are not building pieces. So why would you go out and spend that type of money on that team when it needed to be done put in the proper position? Beyond me, head scratcher, that's the problem. That's the main problem with this team, Steve. Sorry to say, that's what it is. Every team the rest on our schedule, Miami, all the weaker teams are going to have, they're going to be close games because this Giants team is not built to win like that. It's not built to win week in and week out. Joe Judge is an issue as well. I agree with everybody with the timeouts and all that other stuff, the cussing, everything. John Mara, he doesn't want an alpha male on his team like that. He wants yes men. Gettleman was a yes man pick. He doesn't want an alpha male he doesn't want a Lewis Riddick, who I'm not a big, big fan of, but he doesn't want someone on his team, a Josh McDaniels or whoever it is, that's going to buck the system, buck his word, go against the grain. If you look at the track record of his hires, it's yes men, it's people who's going to do what he says. And until you get that guy in this building that's going to change, that's going to not be afraid and have some nuts and go against the stupid shit that him and Chris Maher come up with in these offseason, you're going to be back in the same problem. I don't care who you hire. I don't care what coach you hire. That's why you can't get the Kellen Moores on this team. You can't get the Matt Rhule on this team. Now, I'm not saying I'm a big fan of his, but you can't get certain people to come to this team and be a GM or be a head coach because John Mara runs it like a mom and pop. It's a mom and pop. He doesn't have any other business interests. The Giants is his baby. That's the problem. Look at the winning teams in this league, Steve. Those owners have other shit going on. I mean, the list goes on and on. Hunt. They have other shit going on. They don't have time to be sitting there picking apart the personnel. And caring who, they let the GM do his job. That's why they win games. That's why they win championships. We have a mom and pop, man, and that's just where we are with this damn team, man. Tish alluded to it last year. It needs to be a liaison between him and the general manager. Mara got too much influence. Him and Chris got too much influence on this fucking roster, dude. And it's a problem. And it's going to continue to be a problem until that shit's addressed, man. I don't care who you bring in. They're just going to bring in their buddy. They're going to bring in their buddy. They're going to bring in the head coach that's a yes man. It's not going to go against their word. Jerry Reese was a yes man. It's a track record, Steve. It's just a broken record, dude.
Yeah, these are same. Yeah, these are points that have been identified all season, man. We're spot on, man. We're all on the same accord. Now, G6, you got a question for Carl? You want to throw a question? Anything you want to? Because we're gonna go around for final thoughts. Give everybody another extra minute. 5 minutes. As we wind down on this episode. You got a question for Carl? We'll get into his final thoughts.
No, I don't have a question for Carl. Great stuff by Carl. Great stuff by everybody on the line. Everybody made great points. We just got to see where this team goes for front office-wise. And once that changed, the team will change. We'll still start winning some games. I guarantee it. But the way it's sit right now, this team's just not built to win, man. And that's about it, man. Bleed blue. And, all we can do is be patient. Be more patient. Fly high.
Fly high, G6. Let me see. I was going to say, Carl, we're going to get some final thoughts. Blit had the math project, the template. If you could, come back with a research project for him, for Professor Lit. But here's my thing, and if you guys can answer my question, all you guys on your final thoughts as well, whenever you got, whatever you guys want to say. This is about Joe Judge, you remember when he had that press conference when he first got hired, and I said, man, I've seen this story before as a Knicks fan, the lip service, like with David Fizdale, is the same shit. He sold it to a lot of fans, I don't buy that shit. Now, it goes all to say about the main premise in that conference, you know, when he got hired, was about discipline. We're going to be a disciplined team. We're going to be a team to be proud for, yada, yada, yada. This is where I have an issue with the sports media. They're not – here's the question. Is he going to take accountability between now and the next couple of games for the lack of discipline that's costed us at least two games? You could talk about discipline as far as not making plays on the field, because there's up until one point I counted four missed interceptions. Like, there's drop balls. The team needs to make plays. They did it, you know, they got one out of Julian Love when the ball was battered up. Okay, cool. Then there was one with McKinney. He could have had an interception. There was another play where, you know, like the Darnay Holmes, where you had an offside with O'Shea Ximenez. That the Washington game and this game rivals to me. Late in the game, you needed to make a stop, and you blew it because of lack of discipline. Is Joe Judge going to take accountability for it? As a matter of fact, here's a better question for you, Carl, and in your final thoughts. Will he come out and just say, this is on me as far as lack of discipline, or is it going to have to be coming from the media to ask him that question? Is he going to shrug it off? And then also the accountability of the timeout management. What do you think, Carl, on that, on my question, and then also your final thoughts and, you know, the math project from Lit? I'll put you on for the 5 minutes and go ahead and fire away, man.
All right, I appreciate it. He actually, quote-unquote, took responsibility before the Carolina game. When asked about the discipline and the stuff like that, he had a quote where it said that the fish rots from the head, blaming himself. I think that was in the post. You may have known it. I think it was the Thursday before the Carolina game. So he actually went out and said that, and then the Giants went ahead and they won on that game on Sunday. I've had some time while I was on hold with you guys. Judge explained the issues with the timeouts tonight. He said that they've been having issues with their headsets at every road stadium that they've been in this season, which is why they've been forced to use a lot of timeouts. So take so take that. I couldn't believe it when I heard it myself. I had to play him. I had to play the audio twice just to make sure that I was not hearing things. But that is his claim right now, that the reason why they've been calling timeouts is because they've been having headset issues at road stadiums this season. So that is the reasoning behind that. As far as the math goes, there's actually a statistic that's out there called expected points added. For those that follow the data community like I do, expected points added basically is a measure of how your team performs relative to expectation. There's a statistic that's out there. You could actually research it if you want. If you want me to do the work for you for this coming week, I can get that done for you. But the numbers are actually out there. Folks use it. Head coaches actually in the league have actually quoted it and referenced it to, you know, to the surprise of many that actually hear it. But that particular thing is out there. You know, I'm glad Bakes mentioned this because, you know, I know last week I was talking about don't get smoked going into this week, and I wrote this down as he mentioned it because it is a question that should be explored. At what point do moral victories no longer become accepted? You know, there was a lot of talk this season by fans that this is the year the Giants are going to, quote unquote, make a leap. And yet here we are 7-8 weeks into the season and we're talking about, you know, moral victories again. I was like, wait a second, that should have ended before the season started. And yet that has sort of creeped its way back into the atmosphere again. And at 2-6, I feel like that discussion is going to continue to come up, you know, as the year goes on, the sort of, well, at least they played hard. You know, the idea of, oh, they didn't quit. You know, I don't think that that's what people signed up for when the season started. You know, injuries are not, you know, that was not supposed to be part of the calculus. And that has to be, we have to sort of get past that. There have been too many years now where we come away from certain games saying, well, at least they played well. You know, they may have only played well for 40 minutes or 45 or 50 or 55 or 58 or 59 or maybe even 59 minutes and 59 seconds as we saw in Washington when my man had the offside. But, you know, too many times we keep having that sort of discussion and not getting results. At a certain point, results do matter in a results-based business. You know, that has, as Bakes mentioned that, and I appreciate him saying that because that has to come to a head at some point. I think the last thing is we, as I say goodbye on this one, you know, I think, and we'll probably, we'll talk about it on Thursday. I got a funny feeling the Giants are going to win Sunday. It might sound crazy right now, and they might just do enough dumb stuff on Sunday against the Raiders to lose, but I had a feeling that they were probably going to get one of these two games coming up here, and I think Sunday might be it, just because the league is crazy, as you saw last night, you know, three or four backup quarterbacks winning games against teams that you don't expect. And actually, no, let me close out one thing. Jones played well tonight, but my fear is, and I've mentioned this for months now, he does just enough to lose the game as well. And that's sort of like a Kirk Cousins thing. If you watched that game last night, there was no way that the Vikings should have been in a situation like that with the Cowboys. And yet for all that talent, for everything that's around them, I'm sensing this Jones-Cousins sort of dynamic that exists with both of these guys. And I'm saying to myself, like, God, no, please don't. Because they're not bad enough to be bad, but not good enough to be good either. And I think that eventually that conversation has to be had by the end of the season.
All right, at the C notes, man. Shout-outs to Carl. But yeah, we will rendezvous on Thursday for the preview again. So, yeah, shout-outs to you, Carl. Great points, as always, man. Let's go to Bakes on his final thoughts. And then Billy Bob and Lit. Dre still with us? Yep, Dre still with us. And G6, final thoughts from everybody, man. Go ahead, Bakes, final thoughts, man.
I think final thought is we at, you know, almost the halfway point. Pretty much, we kind of see what the team is, up and down team, faced with a lot of injuries, but still the core of the team is not solidified. And from everything above, from coaching to, you know, coordinators to head coaches, we have issues and we're not consistent. And the key to any level of success on any level of sport, any level of a life, of consistency, and we do not show any sort of consistency in how the New York Football Giants perform on a week-to-week basis. And you got to take the lead of the head coach. I don't think he's qualified to successfully lead this team, even though, as G6 said, we're not structured for a win, but a winning product doesn't come on the field and it's not coached well. To me, a key of a coach is to take the talent that you have and construct a plan to win with it. And we can't win with whatever plan is constructed. And as we go into the next week against the Raiders, we'll see what happens next. As slowly we should be getting some of our key offensive players back, and we try to look for another win. But we need to see improvements from our coaching to see more results on the field. Bleed blue.
Hey, Bakes, one more question from me before we go to Billy Bob. And this is, you know, this goes back to the point Carl made about Daniel Jones just doing just enough to lose. Like, how do you look at Daniel Jones, you know, with the circumstances? I mean, I thought this season up until this point, he's been a lot better with, you know, holding on to the football. He had a rough few years with that shit. It's kind of – I'm not saying he turned the corner, but – sometimes I go into these games thinking he's going to bop it up, and he hasn't really been on that turnover sideshow with the fumbles. That was step number one, but I guess step number two, as far as got to win these games now, where do you stand with Daniel Jones pretty much almost through halfway through this season? Like, where, like, you know, Carl gave his assessment. What about yours? I'm actually going to ask everybody the same thing, you know.
So let's think about this. Let's think about this. With an outside view. If you were looking at another team that drafted a quarterback number six and you were saying his improvement is not fumbling the football, that's a person that's drafted six overall, that's a starter. That's not a backup. That's not something to really think about as an improvement, right? You know, it wasn't right. That he wasn't, you know, that was a big issue. But that shouldn't be an issue of a high first round pick.
That's a big problem. Right. Did he fix that problem for the most part? Yes. Now it's pocket presence and his read. His reads, I don't think he's well on reading defenses. We are watching the Eli and his brother talk about he's staring down. My wife is saying, like, he stares down, he holds the ball too long. And these are things that I don't think top-flight quarterbacks have these problems. Like, Peyton Manning used to throw tons of interceptions. I understand it, but you're trying to make plays. Brett Favre, throwing them in the tight windows. I don't think that's his problem. You know what I'm saying? He has talent. He's athletic. So it's a conundrum because he has athletic skills, but I don't think he has, like, the really football acumen to put them together. Sometimes he'll make a great play and then follow it up with a couple of dumb plays. And it falls back to what I'm saying, consistent. I don't think he's it. I've been a harsh critic for him the whole time. He shows flashes and everybody, see, that's my quarterback. I need consistent play. He's played a lot better this year. But, like, this game, he did okay. I'm not going to blame everything on him because the O-line really fell apart on him late in the game. He made some plays, and he made a couple dumb plays. So it's like he's like par. He's par for the course.
Right,
you're going to win games
right.
par for the course when your top flight running back is hurt. And, you know, we could say his top receivers are out, but a good quarterback makes your team better. Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls with no real wide receivers. It's just like, and I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady because there's no comparison. I'm just saying as an example of what you would consider a top flight wide receiver, quarterback. So that's my concern. He has the tools, but he just doesn't know how to put them together. If you understand what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah.
He's like a real sexy car, but the transmission is broken.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just putting out what I saw in tonight's game. And then I want you to rebut, and then we'll go on to Billy Bob. Let me say this real quick. It's the second drive before last, you know, not the last drive of the game, but the drive before that. It was the one we were up 17 to, you know, we had the lead. And this is the one where we were talking about earlier with Penny. Like, that was a good game. We were moving the ball, and he does the unsportsmanlike, you know, with the taunting it, and it's the 15 yards back. And then remember on that third down, Bakes, he had Slayton on that pass, and they held him. Ward, the cornerback for Kansas City, held him. Good play by Ward by holding him, because had he not held him, I think they connected.
No,
I think Slayton was gone. Huh?
That's a touchdown.
Right,
100%.
Right.
Like I said, he chose flashes of talent. But go ahead.
Hold on, one more, and there was one more point on that drive because I remember that so vividly. And then it was that third down where he checked down the Booker, right? But if you really go back and look at that play, because it's going to be on the game film, none of the wide receivers that were on that, I think it was like four wide receivers spread out, they could
not get a release on
the line. Like, cornerbacks were all over him, so he had to check down. I mean, would you rather have seen him force the ball into, like, you know, one of the wide receivers that were totally covered? Or, I mean, I think he's making the right plays. I mean, it's not like game-winning shifts, but it's like a gamble. Like, if he forces in the coverage, hey, it's possible, highly possible, it could have been an interception. What are your thoughts on that drive? On what happened, the sequence
I agree. Like I said, I said, this game he played okay. I really holding that pick against him. But those plays, like I seen the play when he checked on the Booker, and Booker had a decent game too on the ground. There were nobody open. There was nobody open on the one-on-one coverage,
right.
and then the line didn't really hold up. He had to check down the Booker, and I understand that he's starting to make some of those plays, right? But like I said, is not consistent all the time. And I understand players have bad games. I'm not trying to say Daniel Jones should be perfect, but I think from the way he started his season, he has to improve his level of play. That hole was big. And then, you know, that Penny thing, which I just find it to be a bullshit. A taunting call, this is not college football. It's not college football. The taunting rule is stupid. He might have said something to the dude. I can understand, but that's not, you know, okay. What about all the other times when other players and they turn around and wave goodbye? It's football. But, you know, I'm not going to hold that against Daniel Jones. I think he's making some solid plays. I just don't think he's consistent. That's my beef. He's not consistent. He has the tools. He's athletic, got a big arm, you know what I'm saying? But his pocket presence and his lack of consistency, I thank God he limited the fumbles, because if he did the fumbles this year, I would like, he got to get out of here. But, I mean, the jury is still out on him because, you know, whatever change he's going to make, you know, it could fall on him as well. But I just really, Steve, all of everybody, I just want to see us win. And, you know, that's all we all want. You know what I'm saying? I wish you could do enough to win. I think we were close to winning, but we didn't do enough to win. And that's where I lie on it. But we continue to play and we'll be back on Thursday. And we'll be here. We'll watch against the Raiders.
Yeah, it is crazy, Bates, because you were at that game in New Orleans. Carl, too, right? When he had Galladay, he had Barkley. He showed he could go into a hostile environment and win. And the Saints are doing it. You know that's a story for another day as far as their quarterback situation. But going into that building with your top dudes, remember he hit Barkley up the sideline. He hit Galladay right before the end of the fourth quarter to get the yak to set up the game time field goal to go in overtime. Yep. So like it's crazy how we're going back and forth. Like he's shown that he could do it. You know, when he had weapons around him. It's weird, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully these guys could get back soon. Hopefully this week they'll be back, and we'll see. If that's the case, if we get these guys back, Galladay and Barkley, and we'll see if the recipe is different when we have everybody back.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a Daniel Jones apologist because I understand the flaws, but I'm looking at what happened in week four and all that, and then you had to lay it at egg versus Dallas. But, yo, Billy, shout out to Bates, man. Frontliners, NYG Frontliners on Twitter and Instagram, man. Yo, Billy Bob, give us your final thoughts, man, and your thoughts on Daniel Jones if you want to add it. I know you're more big on the defense. Your final thoughts, man. Sorry about that. And then we go to Lit, Dre, and then G6.
No, you already know how I felt about Daniel Jones, man. I've been telling you that Daniel Jones should be winning these games now. I said even with the bullshit calls that he gets from Jason Garrett, he still should be overcoming these type of plays. Like there were so many plays he got away with the bullshit call. Like like I said, the routes these receivers run, these five and outs are pathetic. Like the three and four that call like why do it be third and four and they run a 3-yard route? And then the Jags right on point do that with Stepper. They run a 1-yard out route. And then even with the one that he scored with every Ingram, that play would happen to be guarded right. It's just that the person that was guarding him didn't guard Ingram the correct way. But we got away with that one. Got away with another one when he threw Tony the ball when he came around, and lucky the dude slipped and fell. He caught it, and the dude did something with it. Even with Daniel Jones staring down the receiver, that just go to show you that these routes that come out are predictable. Jones is staring down a person that's running a five and out. I don't care if he even staring down that receiver. That linebacker knew that route was coming. These are the same routes that are predictable for the last 4 years. I don't know how long Jason Garrett been here, but these routes are so predictable that it's just like these receivers don't even get separations with these routes. These routes that are being ran are no good. It's like it's no good. It's like it's mind-boggling because think about it. We kind of had a run game today. 14 carries for 65 yards. That's a 4-point carry with a backed up running back, and Jason Garrett still couldn't get it done. And when I say about that, when I say I'm standing on my defense, how does your defense stop somebody on their first drive? They've been doing this all season, stopping everybody on their first drive with creating turnovers, just to watch the offense give back the ball. Like, you got to understand that. That's like saying we spotted Kansas City 7 points. Like, you stop them and say, huh, here's 7 points. Just take it. And it's like, and y'all keep trying to say the defense. We got to stop the defense. The defense is there. It's just like, why you getting these mistakes on, like, the Washington game? Because the defense probably like, oh, snaps, we in the game. We finally in the game. And they fuck up. And, like, tonight, we get an interception. Because they, like, they tell themselves, like, that's no different than saying defense, like, you get players out of position because they're trying to make plays because they know their offense is not holding up. When your offense not holding up, defense is going to try to make plays. And they're going to be out of position. Like you had in that Cowboys game, you had Love out of position trying to make a play. You're going to get these kind of mental breakdowns. It's just football one-on-one to me. And it's starting to get so aggravating because it's like they can't get together because they won't get that one denominator. And I think it's Jason Garrett. Because if you're looking at it, when I say talent, the Giants have enough talent to move the ball up and down the field, but they're just not finishing plays. What is not finishing plays when they get in the red zone? It's like, come on, Jason Garrett. You don't have no good plays in the red zone? Like, really? Like, you finally ran, and it was so funny because they was talking about it. You finally ran a throwback play action to Kyle Rudolph. It was so simple, and it was like that play had been out for years. You hear Peyton Manning saying that it's been out for so long that defense still can't stop that. And then we finally get it right, and then Jason Garrett still can't follow up with a one good drive and just get us a field goal. It just we talking about getting our Pro Bowl kicker into a time field goal. It's sad to even say that we even put up points. No, we didn't put up points. It's terrible. Oh, my goodness, it's terrible. I mean, I still like Daniel Jones. I said, cause I think he could do it if they get him the right player. I mean, not the right player, but the right – if you call him the right play, try to find the pulse of your team. Find the pulse of your offense. Jason Garrett got to know what's hot. He doesn't know what's hot. When I say hot, like, find the hot man on your offense, and you run with that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I can't even say, hey, listen to me, guys. Let's not hate on the offensive line. This year, I don't even think they was not bad. Like I said, they blocking, but they just not blocking like how y'all want them to block. When I say block, they hold up. It's just that I sometimes see the running back just running straight into their back. To me, they've been pass blocking kind of good to me. I ain't saying the shit is like perfect, but they doing enough. That's what I'm saying. They doing enough to where I can see Daniel Jones winning games with this type of offense. I'm not saying Daniel Jones got enough weapons to win games. Because if the quarterback from the Jets won that game, and look at what the hell Matt Jones doing that goddamn pay. I mean, like, come on. Let's be real. All these young quarterbacks put that shit together. I'm like, Daniel Jones, put it together. Get it together. I don't give a damn who you had because you already had. We seen what you had when you had weapons, and I seen you with you without weapons. Just make it happen now. We to the point like just make it happen. Like I was not shocked. Everybody talking about don't get blown out of the building. I expected the Giants to win tonight, and I expect Giants to win a couple of these more games. Like stop playing. Like, we got Darius. Come on, man. We got enough talent to win games, bro. It's just that the coach gonna keep fucking it up, but they're. It's frustrating, bro.
All right.
Final thoughts.
Cool, man. Shout outs to Billy Bob. Winding down. Yo, let's get Lit and Dre and then G6. Go ahead, Lit, with your final thoughts. Dre, then G6. Then we'll wrap up.
Steve, what was your question? You asked a question about Daniel Jones. I think it was to Bakes or to Carl. What was that question? I'd like to answer that question. Please.
Yeah, man. Kind of how do you evaluate him up into this port right now? I mean, it's kind of been the ongoing theme all season, but after you saw what you saw tonight, we talked about him improving, lack of turnovers, he's done a little bit better, but it's kind of, to me, it's tricky to evaluate him. I mean, depending on who you are, which stakeholder you are, how do you see, as far as Daniel Jones right now, despite the circumstances, are you not sold on him, are you totally done with him, or what?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, if you're going to base positivity that he can hold on to the ball, whereas, you know, his peers know how to hold on to the ball, but it's taken him 3 years to learn how to hold on to the ball. Yeah, that's great, but I almost feel like he's you know, almost like at a handicap, or he's been at a handicap for, you know, the last 2 years to get to where he needs to be, where the rest of the quarterbacks are. Learning how to hold on to the ball, I think you're trained by your QB coach, whether in Pop Warner or in college, and to actually learn how to, you know, hold on to the ball now in the pros is that is a concern. The other thing, and I don't know, Steve, if you see this, Bakes, Billy Bob, G6, he looks really, really out of control in pre-snap. Is that just who he is? Or is that because he's so overwhelmed and so uptight that he just dances around and he's looking like he's on drugs when, you know, pre-snap, whether he's changing the play, audible, asking for protection. I mean, he looks very out of control. He does not look calm and collective like the majority of his peers do. And if anyone says that's just Daniel Jones, okay, I can accept that. If someone can say, hey, man, you got a point there. He does look really wild, out of control, like most quarterbacks look very calm and commanding. Daniel Jones doesn't. That's all I kind of really wanted to say. I'm just looking forward to going out to MetLife for the Raider game. Steve, maybe you'll make an appearance. It'd be good to see you in person. Maybe some special guests might show up. But, yeah, it'd be good to see if you're able to show up.
All right. Shout out to Lit. Thank you very much on that. Yeah, about Sunday versus the Raiders, shit, I don't know about that. We'll see. Man, this is a really I don't really call it complicated. I look at this shit so many different ways. This is why I'm glad I'm asking you guys. Let's see, who's next? Shout out to Lit, man, Legend and Tailgate. Giant fan of Arizona on Instagram. Hey, Dre, your final right thoughts, man, and then G6.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey. Listen, G6 hit the nail on the head. I've been telling you guys this, but I don't know how long. It got to the point where when Chris would call me on, he would be like, okay, Dre Graham, we can't get rid of Mara, we can't fire him, so don't even say nothing about that. Go ahead, say your point, because I was constantly talking about Mara. And I told you guys, yes, man, that's what he's about. It's not what, no matter who we fire, we still going to be in the same predicament because, like G6 said, he's still going to get a yes man underneath him as a GM, and then the GM is going to get a yes man as coach, and if the GM don't want the yes man as coach, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to do the move that he did this year by hiring Garrett. What's the name that didn't hire Garrett? Nobody on the coaching staff hired Garrett. Mara hired Garrett. That was Mara's pick. See what I'm saying? So either way, we screwed, man. And as far as G6 also brought up, why would you get Galladay when you need help? I'm gonna tell you why we got Galladay. Okay, and I want to go on the record and say Galladay is basically Brandon Marshall 2.0 to me. Because the same thing happened to Brandon Marshall. Only thing is Brandon Marshall was out for the season. He went out the third game of the season and was, like, out the whole season. And that was the same season where we lost all our receivers again. This is the second time that done happened to us in one game. But this is why we went and got Galladay. 90-plus million on a wide receiver. We cut him the next year, and then we don't go get a wide receiver. We go get a slot receiver to try to replace a top three wide receiver at the time. That didn't work out, so we went and got Galladay. We're trying to compensate. It's been 3-4 years. We're trying to compensate on the stupid mistake that we did by letting Beckham go. That's what that's about. You know, we had a number one receiver. Him and DJ probably could have, you know, could have did a special thing, but got rid of him. So that's why we're panicking and going out and getting all these players, trying to make it look pretty, like we doing something, but we really ain't doing nothing. That's what that's about. As far as this game, the Raiders game, I actually had us beating the Raiders when I saw them on the, you know, when I saw them on the schedule. I actually had us beating them, so if we beat them, it won't be a shock to me. And as far as somebody mentioned, Daniel Jones with the fumbles, you know, it's down. A couple of people mentioned that. Yeah, it's kind of like it's funny to me because the same reason why Daniel Jones fumbles is down, and it's not because he's holding the ball. It's not a Tiki Barber problem. It's not a Tiki Barber problem. People say, well, Lamar Jackson fumbled. Lamar Jackson fumbled because he holds the ball in one hand. He don't like to tuck them. He tucked the ball, he'd have less fumble. That's not Daniel Jones' problem. Daniel Jones' problem is he has no pocket presence. So when he gets hit from the blind side, he can't feel the hit. So it's surprising him. And if you hit somebody hard and it surprises them, they don't have time to tuck the ball and take the hit. That's why he's fumbling. So pocket presence, you're supposed to, like, you get to the NFL, you're supposed to already have that. Daniel Jones is a smart guy. Yeah, he's smart. We know he's smart. He went to Duke. But I'm going to do this analogy. You ever had somebody that was smart in the books, but they wasn't street smart? They was dumb as hell street smart, but smart in the books. Okay, well, Daniel Jones, like in the football analogy, the pocket for him to – lack of pocket presence and being able to read defenses. That's street smarts. He don't really have no street smarts. But him going out there calling the plays, you know, doing the little audibles or whatever, that's the books. That's like the books. He's okay in that. But when it comes to reading the defenses and the pocket presence, that's street smarts. He don't have it. He don't have enough of it to lead the team. And it's not his fault. Gettleman set him up. You don't pick a guy at number six with an organization that's been losing for years that need to get back on top quickly, which also happens to be in the most brutal fan and media base in this entire world. You have to be mentally. You have to be mentally prepared for that. And I don't think that he's mentally prepared for that. Eli was mentally prepared because he had amnesia. He showed no emotion. He has no poker face. Daniel Jones, stand down receivers. And they even asked Eli on the show, why after RPO, I think it was Michael Irvin, why after RPO you're going to do your quarterback? And Eli said, hey, it's unfortunate that the only way that Daniel Jones do not fumble the ball is when he's running the ball during the read option. If he stays back there, then he fumbles the ball. But Daniel Jones is not Iron Man. So even if Daniel Jones ball out for the rest of the season, he could never be our franchise quarterback because he's going to be injured all the time because his biggest strength, which makes him the best, is doing the read option, and he's not Mr. Glass like Shepard, but he's not built that way. He's going to get injured every year. And we can't have a franchise quarterback doing that. So he's going to stay until his contract is out, but then we need to get somebody, because Mara and the organization is too stubborn to admit that they was wrong. Them getting rid of him before his contract is over is admitting that they're wrong. They're not going to do that. They're going to ride it out. We just got to ride it out with them, unfortunately. And, you know, we all diehard fans. We're going to ride it out. It's like point-blank period. This end of the final point-blank period. Maverick's the problem. I've been telling y'all that he's the problem.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, he's the problem. Yeah, so that's point-blank period. There's nothing we can do about that, but, hey. Bleed blue.
So you're out on Jones. I get that. I think that's what I heard, which is cool. I mean that's your opinion, and I mean, for all the points you said, it makes make a good case, man. I mean, it's good to get.
It's not his fault, and it's not his fault. I'm not saying it's his fault, but he's not the guy.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Oh, all right, collateral damage.
We're going to wrap it up on this. G6, your final thoughts, and we're out.
Yeah, man. I just think a lot of good points again by everybody. I think overall, man, our offensive coordinator was relieved of his play-calling duties by Jerry Jones in 2013 and never retained that duty. And we hired him as our OC. Mara.
Amen.
Like, I'm just saying, Mara hired the guy. I don't think Joe Judge really wanted him. I think he was forced on him. And that's the guy we hired, the guy that Jerry Jones relieved of his play-calling duties in 2013. Kind of a stupid move. We wanted Justin Herbert. We didn't wait. Summer panic, team panic, and got Daniel Jones. That was the wrong move. So Daniel Jones was always a reach. I think he's a great backup. He doesn't have a strong arm. It's a lot of things with him, man, that head scratching when you get him at the number six pick. But I just don't think he's the answer, man. You shouldn't be teaching. You shouldn't have to emphasize holding on to the ball in your third year. You shouldn't still be staring down wide receivers in your third year. There's certain things about him that you know, he does that a player picked at number six shouldn't be doing. That the answer is right there in our face. No, he's not the answer. Where do we go? I don't think the answer is in next year's draft. So I think he'll be the quarterback of the team. But long term, no. Just to answer your question, no. I don't think he's the guy. He just don't have it, man. That it that other quarterbacks have. James Jones just hasn't. He got some athleticism. He's from where I'm from. He's from Charlotte, so I know a little bit about him. He played basketball. He's an athletic guy. And as far as going to Duke, it wasn't about his academics going to Duke, man. Duke never get talented players on their football team. They're a basketball college, so that was easy. Anybody who wants to go there that can halfway play, you can make it on that team. So I'm not going to call him smart because he went to Duke, but, yeah, he was just never the guy, man. I thought in that draft we should have went a different route. I would have rather roll with Eli that year. We still was going to be a top five draft pick, and Herbert would have been the guy. That's the guy David Gettleman really wanted anyway. And that's pretty much it, man. You know, again, good talking to y'all. Like I said, everybody made great points, and it was just good to be on and listen and everything, man. And, you know, I'm going to try to call in more, man, in the future.
Shout-outs to the G6. It's about to take off from the tarmac, man. It's good to have you back on, man. It's good to hear from you, man. Shout-outs to everybody,
yes, sir,
man,
yes,
on this episode. And I'm glad. You know what? I'm gonna finish this, my thoughts, in like 20, 30 seconds of G6, because you kind of – this is the reason why I asked that question. You kind of in the ballpark of where I was going with this, because I kind of see Daniel Jones like many of you guys, and I'm trying to make a case, trying to play devil's advocate. I know statistically and analytically he's not that guy, but the issue is really who is next? Are you going to get this is probably going to be a question probably for the next episode. I'll write it down, bring it up on Thursday. Do we need a bridge quarterback? Because I don't know a college football, because I watch college football week in and week out. I don't see an answer there either, and this is where G6 kind of said, I don't even see it this year's draft. I'm not a believer in Will Rogers with the Bulldogs. I'm not a believer in Kenny Pickett with the Panthers or even the smaller colleges like Grant Wells from Marshall. He's shown okay. Even Bryce Young from Alabama is not that guy. He's a downgrade from Mac Jones. So, okay, you get rid of Jones, then what? You're going to bring in a bridge quarterback? I mean, see, that's the dilemma we're in because of the reach, like G6 said, and how we've identified since that Nashville draft, Bakes. This is a conundrum, man, because we're right out of time. Shout-outs to Carl, D. Bakes, Billy Bob, Definition of Lit, Legend and Tailgate, Dre, G6, DB Nation calling in from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. We'll be back in a couple of days, preview versus the Raiders. I want you guys to think about that, man. That's going to be the question. I'll bring it back up on Thursday. Okay, if it's not Daniel Jones, then what? Bridge quarterback? Journeyman? What quarterback in college? That's the question. I'm going to bring it back up on Thursday. Until then, Sangria Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.